Hey guys, welcome everyone to episode 42 of New Wins at Noon, aka the New Music Mondays podcast. 42, the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. I think we've got a good show for you today. We've got new music from Queens and Kings and Robinson Kirby, as well as new music and an interview with Toronto artist and producer Pusher. I want to start by talking a little bit about relationships. A lot of relationships have ended or are experiencing incredible stress due to the current state of life itself right now. According to a recent, semi-recent report by CTV, divorce rates have gone up in Canada by more than 20% since the onset of COVID-19, while the CBC called the situation, quote, a pressure cooker, end quote. No shit, CBC. We're trying to maintain a lifestyle at home in cities that people live in when they are told they would hardly spend any time in their homes because they live in such a vibrant, awesome city. So who cares if you live in a small condo, right? Don't get me wrong. Do I think the vibrancy of cities like Toronto will return? Yes, absolutely. You can already see it happening every time there's a restriction lifted, even for a week. Shows will be back. The city will be fun again, right? Right? I digress though. What I was getting at was that the pandemic, if it has done nothing else, it has allowed us all to really evaluate our lives, maybe shook us up a bit into realizing life is short. And I hope for some at least, it's allowed them the strength to find themselves, or at least to take the first steps to do so. Breakups are hard. As the old parable goes, quote, if you love something, set it free. If it returns to you, it will be yours forever. If it doesn't, it was never yours to begin with, end quote. I have no idea who that's by. I think that's like an unknown random thing. Queens and Kings is Toronto's own post-punk garage rock duo that is a product of fight, a symbol of resilience, and an emblem of victory. For 8 years, Brendan and Alyssa struggled with their own projects, their health, as well as their relationship with each other. The on-again, off-again, officially a couple status is way beyond the power of the connection these two human beings have for each other. When the world comes back to life and you have the opportunity to catch Queens and Kings in person, I could not suggest checking that out enough. They play an absolutely killer show. The internet just simply doesn't do it justice. As I mentioned before, relationships are hard. The best ones, the strongest ones, when two strong people love each other with all the passion and the fire that comes with that, those relationships, those are the ones that take the most work. And you can trust me on that. You can take that one to the bank. This is the new one from Queens and Kings. This is Going Through Hell.
You say things to get under my skin. Your words taste like whiskey and gin. Yeah, you and I had heaven, baby.
That was Going Through Hell by Queens and Kings. Toronto-born music producer Marty Burney, aka Pusher, made his splash onto the Toronto pop scene with his shiny and colorful sounds. His 2016 and 2018 EPs, New Laces and Paperman, were widely supported by tastemakers and press, including Billboard, Majestic Casual, and Paper Mag. Pusher is back with his new album out this year called Stay at Home DJ, and he's just dropped his first single from that album. It's called I Could Give It Up. This is my interview with Toronto artist Pusher.
How's the level? Are we good?
Yeah, you sound great on this end. Do I sound okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Great, perfect. Everybody, I am here with Martin Burney, aka Pusher. How are you today, Martin?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for having me.
Cool. And is Pusher is your sort of moniker, right?
Yeah. I can't imagine my parents giving me that one.
Nice. Right off the bat, my question to you is, how is your apocalypse going?
You know what? All things considered, it's not going too badly. You know,
that's good.
Just kind of cruising. Being a music producer is an insular life, so I've been training for this for years.
Are you? And here's my second question about that. Are you excited for the aliens? Because I've got a pretty good feeling about the summer.
What's happening in the summer?
I don't know. Aliens. I just got a feel. Like, I mean, you know, it's 2021. There's got to be aliens soon, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, there's been, maybe we're just seeing more of them, or maybe there are more of them, but definitely a lot more meteors. I feel like this stuff's kind of percolating in space. I feel like aliens at this point would be the easy way out.
Wouldn't that just be like a nice convenient, and it was aliens the whole time?
Yeah. Oh, hey, we're actually great as a species. I suppose I'm open to it.
Fair enough. You have a new album that is coming out this summer. Is it this summer or just this year?
I think it'll be sometime later in the year. Probably we're due 6 to 8 weeks just for pitching and remixes and other stuff between each single. So if you do the math on about 5 singles, we're probably looking at sometime around September for the album. But cool, obviously lots of stuff leading up to it.
Nice. And the album is called Stay at Home Pop Star. Yep. I can only imagine that was inspired a little bit by 2020. And
no,
can you tell me?
Not
no.
A,
oh, can you tell me about it then? Absolutely, for sure.
The title came first.
Really?
So I've been working on this album. Yeah, I know, right? Talk about. I feel like in some small way, I'm guilty for everything that's happened.
Oh, no, yeah, right.
So the Stay at Home Pop Star, the concept of the album just being me like at my place making music, I came up with at the start of 2019.
Oh, nice.
But like more than a full year before the pandemic and everything started. There was actually even a skit on the album that I made in 2019 called Future News. I'd been spending a lot of time on the collapse and futurism subreddits.
Yep, yeah, I love collapse on Reddit for sure.
Yeah, so I just compiled like a bunch of the craziest ideas and like made some extrapolations and made this like news broadcast from the future. But I have to completely rewrite it because like everything's happened.
That's brutal. I mean,
yeah. So I feel guilty.
Was the president for a little while?
Yeah, I didn't predict that one, but I did actually predict a pandemic.
So did you really?
Don't feel great. I called it El Paso virus though, because there's a prediction from back in the 90s that like climate change is going to accelerate climate migrants, and then you know, xenophobia means people are going to end up in camps and the conditions are bad, so it's like a breeding ground for viruses and stuff. So I predicted that one. Didn't turn out exactly the way I predicted it. I wasn't
really
hoping
interesting,
that
actually.
It would.
You could
at all.
Argue very easily that climate change was kind of directly responsible for COVID-19 because the way we sort of impact the environment causes those zoonotic diseases to kind of come out. So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't blame you.
Thank you. Can I get that in writing?
I'll send it to you in a formal email. Yes. Absolutely.
I need to get as many people to sign this petition as possible.
We're going to put it on Change for you.
Because they seem like they're going to get worse before they get better. And I just want to make sure that I'm covered.
Any predictions for 2021?
I only want to make good predictions from now on, just in case I'm directly responsible for manifesting things in the universe that I don't seem to have any control over. So I predict that I'm going to make tons of money and capitalism's going to fall apart and we're all going to live in a wonderful anarcho-communist utopia. It's going to be
amazing.
Great. I think that it's all going to completely fall apart and be perfect by mid-October.
By mid-October. Okay, good. Yeah. We're looking at Utopia by mid-October. I like
it. Yes.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your new song, because it's a little bit about your phone addiction, about addiction in general, the way our society kind of pushes that on us, I guess, a little bit, no pun intended. And I wanted to ask you just if you tell me about the song and specifically about how you wrote it and why you wrote it that way.
So going into the album, kind of the thing that I was going through is like, I did two EPs before this, six tracks each. And there were a lot of conventional writing sessions where I produce, someone else does the top line. And in those writing sessions, I was finding it difficult to access lyrical space, especially when I'm not super like the most responsible for the lyrics. I was finding it difficult to get to lyrics that I thought were meaningful and that cut through the nonsense of just pop writing convention. I'm a big fan of people like Frank Zappa, and so I kind of like not necessarily weirder stuff, but stuff that I think is just creative and unusual and sort of speaks to you in a different way. I don't like this like sort of trite, almost pop song, like love song type thing. So I wanted to write different kinds of songs. And so I was driven to do that. And so with this album, what I wanted to do was just write songs, sort of plain English lyrics that talk about things that relate to how, what existence is like right now for me. Mm-hmm. So phone addiction obviously was sort of an easy target.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I set out to do. Yeah, so this is the first song of many songs that are like the sort of thing that you would see a meme about, you know.
And one of the things I think you wrote the song in a way that is sort of counterintuitive to what the song is about. Does that resonate?
How do you mean?
Well, in your press release, you said that you wrote it intentionally with a pop song format in mind, with that sort of addictive music format in mind. And there's an article, I forget where it was from, that was like, the music industry is tricking you into loving music. And it's one of my favorite. Again, I don't know where it's from, but we'll put that in the edit. Okay, quick interjection here. So the article I am referring to right here is actually titled, quote, "How the Music Industry is Brainwashing You to Like Bad Pop Songs," end quote. And it was originally published on Mike.com. Take a read. It's a pretty interesting article. And keep listening to independent music. Now, back to the interview. It's just all about, you know, sound structure. And I kind of wanted to ask you about, again, why you chose to write it in that kind of poppy way while we were talking about the non-addictiveness of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that I, because I'm responsible for every aspect of this song now, which is a first for me, to do a full vocal sort of pop song type production and be responsible for the lyrics and the vocals and the production and the form and every detail of it. I just tried to sort of embed in every single detail some kind of meaningful association to the theme of the song, so that if you choose to break it down, there is stuff there. I feel like a listener will pick up on deeper meanings and deeper levels to art if it's there. Whether they know consciously what exactly is going on, I don't think is super relevant, just that it sort of is there, that there are layers to peel back. So with this one, what I wanted to do, phones are addictive, so I wanted to parallel that by creating a song that is, in its own way, doing what big tech companies are doing. They're trying to make us addicted, right? They give us the red notification that gets our attention, right? And they do the slot machine scroll thing, like sometimes you get a notification, sometimes you don't. Or like TikTok, like a lot of people on TikTok record that sometimes their video will go viral and then they do a bunch of videos and they don't go viral. But they become addicted to this, like, maybe it'll happen, right? So with this song, I've used all those little tricks that songwriters kind of use in pop music, or many of them, not all of them, because there's a lot of tricks that people use, just to try to make this song connect, or at least in a sort of fourth wall meta way, be the addictive pop formula. So it's got like the typical verse, chorus, bridge, chorus form. It repeats the title like ad nauseum in the chorus, in the backgrounds and everything. Like, you cannot come away from this song not knowing the name of it.
It's a just great like, song.
Thank you. You can't come away from like
all morning.
Dynamite. remember to take a break and go for a walk. Right. Yeah, there's a number of little tricks like that. But then because I enjoy the craft of music and I'm also a big fan of people like the Beatles, I appreciate a surprise in a song, some little moment in it that's like, whoa, what was that? That is makes it worth re-listening to the song. And so in this sort of very formulaic pop song, I've made room for a bridge in its very conventional place, but which breaks a lot of the conventions. Like, it changes time signature. It jumps to a wildly different key center. It is jarring. The sound design changes, the rhythms all change. In most of the song, the bass is sort of repeating this same figure over and over. It becomes very dependable. And then in the bridge, it just completely is no longer the dependable focus of the track. So the majority of the song being sort of regular and stable is like being on your phone, scrolling, feeling comfortable, you know, in your own little zone. But then there's sort of this like bubbling undercurrent of, wait a second, I'm like being manipulated for my data. And like, Facebook's trying to sell me ads, and like the information that they're able to get out of me is like way beyond what I could ever possibly comprehend. Like, I just tried to structure every aspect of the song to mirror the themes of the song.
Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. And you did mention the Beatles, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but I will say that is a solid Beatles cover you've got going on there.
Oh, thank you. In my life,
that guy. And yeah. And props to having the balls to cover the Beatles and doing it so well.
Thanks so much. I think that the thing I mostly wanted to do was like not change it too much.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So I did want to ask you one thing. Is there a moment, I guess, in the past couple of years where you realized that you were addicted to your phone?
Oh my God. It all blurs together. I don't think there's a specific, I mean, it's lots and lots of times where, I mean, it's almost just like the lyrics of the song, like where you're kind of dismissing it constantly. Just like, I mean, everyone's on their phone. Like, I'm just scrolling, like it's fine. I can stop doing it. But you know, it's kind of all the hallmarks of addiction in that way. But this like normalized addiction, like coffee or something, you know?
Fair enough. I mean, alcohol is a fairly normalized addiction too. There's
totally.
There's lots of stores out there that sell it.
Yeah.
New album, Stay at Home DJ. You mentioned that was actually written before 2020. So this is kind of a less sort of 2020-ish question now, but I wanted to know, in the past year, have you come across any technological solutions that have helped you keep going as a producer and a performer, not being able to play festivals? Have you been doing live streams, that kind of thing?
At the start of 2019, when I started making the album, I was like not really doing shows. Like I had spent 2018 developing it all blurs together. I'd spent 2018 like developing this live show, and then at the start of 2019 like wasn't really having any success like pitching it or getting shows or anything. So that was super frustrating, and I was like, man, am I just gonna be like at home forever? So I mean, most of the work that I was doing was kind of at home, remote stuff anyway. So 2020 wasn't like, the pandemic wasn't a massive change for me. I wasn't out doing shows or anything at the time. I was going seeing a lot of shows, which I was having a really nice time doing. I had a lot of tickets for shows that were lined
nice,
up.
Yeah.
But beside the point of my own career. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really changed things tremendously for me, because I was working mostly online anyway, doing YouTube stuff and trying to build up Instagram, which was a dumb thing to do because it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah, Instagram, I feel like, took a hit this past year. What with all the not going out and being able to take photos of cool things.
They're doing it to themselves. Everyone's frustrated with them.
What is next for Pusher?
I'm doing the score for an Xbox game called Echo Generation. Yeah,
Cool.
Echo Generation.
Nice. What is Echo Generation about?
It is, oh my goodness. I've played a demo of it. I haven't seen anything other than the demo and a few stills. I'm basically working on the music kind of blind. But it's basically about these kids. It's sort of like, I don't want to liken it to Stranger Things, because a lot of people see it and they're like, oh, it's kind of like Stranger Things. It's a group of kids in 80s rural Ontario, and like I think an alien ship lands at the edge of town, and them and their cat like go to investigate. But my goodness, does it reference like every science fiction thing I've ever heard of. Like they're talking about like the Goonies, and there was a demo of it in December, so I can say some of this stuff.
Cool.
There's references to the Goonies, and there's references to like Tremors, I think, and like all these like old science fiction movies and classic references and stuff. And there's like a kid that's missing in town, and there's like blood on the door of a fridge at this guy's house who lives on the outskirts of town. And it's like, did this guy like kidnap and did he kill this kid? So it's like, it's very colorful. It's like voxel, it's like 3D pixel animation. It's a gorgeous game, and it's very sort of science fiction-y and meta and self-aware. And I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So I'm finishing up the last of something in the ballpark of like 60 to 70 tracks for this thing.
Wow, that's intense. Who's it by, sorry?
Yeah, it's Coco Cucumber is the studio. It's a local Toronto studio.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't even know how they found me, honestly. They just reached out to me.
Did they just email you and were like, yo, we're doing a video game, we like your music?
yeah, just send me a cold email. I didn't know anything about the game.
That is very cool.
There's that, and then the album's coming out. I do some work with a producer, YouTube producer, Andrew Wong. So I'm doing some production stuff. I pop up occasionally in his videos and stuff. And then I cannot wait to get back to work on the next project, because I've already started making notes on the next thing that I think is going to be sort of like, I think I might do like a serial story.
Cool.
Where like maybe for 8 weeks or something, I release one portion of this longer work of music that plays continuously every week or something. So I'm making notes on that, and I've got kind of a loose story idea, but I think that would be a fun musical journey.
Yeah, yeah, keep us updated on that one for sure. Where can we find more about Pusher?
Probably the best place to see what I'm doing is Instagram and YouTube. Instagram's a good place for me to like post updates on what's coming up and stuff. And then I'm posting all the like good videos and in between content, tutorial content and memes and ridiculous video, good musical entertainment stuff on YouTube. So YouTube and Instagram are probably the two best places. But like as the zeitgeist shifts, I'll be moving on to whatever replaces these platforms.
Are you on Twitch at all?
I haven't been on Twitch too. I did a live stream of the video game on Twitch back in December when the demo was live.
Yeah.
But haven't done it too much. I've been live streaming on YouTube a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Pusher, Martin, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is I Could Give It Up.
What was that you said? I didn't hear it. I was in my head and in my mirror. Don't get upset, tell me what I missed. I'll be right with you when I'm done with this. I was just on my phone, not addicted to the scroll. I'm just being normal. I can give it up, I can give it up. I was just on my phone, told you that I'm in control. I can do this alone. I can give it up, I can give it up. I can give it up. I can give it up. Give it up. I could give it. Did you hear the news? Did you see that link? Oh yeah, I heard that too. So glad we all agree. We don't need to hang out anymore. We stay caught up all the time. It's so much better than before. Just on my phone, not addicted to the scroll. I'm just being normal. I can give it up, I can give it up. I was just on my phone, told you that I'm in control. I can do this alone. I can give it up, I can give it up. I can give it up. I could give it up. I could give it up. Can't think straight, gotta check, I got. Can't look away, I should. Just on my phone, not addicted to the scroll. I'm just being normal. I can give it up, I can give it up. I was just on my phone, told you that I'm in control. I can do this alone. I can give it up, I can give it up. Just on my phone, told you that I'm in control. I can do this alone.
That was I Could Give It Up by Pusher. Thanks again to Marty for hanging out with the show. It was a blast to hang out with you, dude. Robinson Kirby is another duo from Toronto. Sorry about all the Toronto heavy episodes lately, everybody. We will get some other provinces back in the mix soon, I swear. Madeline Kirby and Luke Robinson met at Berklee College of Music and have been writing and playing together ever since. Their new album, Little Dreams, is a collaboration of songs they wrote while studying together at the school and living in Los Angeles. The album, conceptually, is about love and the search for a real connection and finding your own place in the world. Something we all need to take seriously at some point, if we haven't already. And then maybe a couple more times in our lives after that. This is Find a Way by Robinson Kirby.
Will I ever find a way to stop the door and make you stay? You don't see my point of view, no
That was Find a Way by Robinson Kirby, and I just want to dedicate that one to anyone out there trying to find the right place for themselves in this big, complicated, and weird world. I wish you nothing but love and the best of luck. I wish you all nothing but love and the best of luck, actually, because that's the end of the show for this week. I'm your host, Ben in Toronto. This is New Ones at Noon, aka the New Music Mondays podcast. The podcast is available, by the way, on Stitcher, Deezer, Apple Podcasts, and of course, iHeartRadio. Dropout is licensed to play through SoCan. Thanks, SoCan. Connect with Dropout on social media at Dropout Entertainment and tune in to Dropout Radio between 6 and 7 p.m. for the Fan Takeover Hour, aka All Request Hour. Visit dropoutentertainment.ca/fantakeover for more information on that and to vote for the songs that you want us to play. Also, check out Save Toronto Music Venues on Facebook. They are a non-profit organization that is finding different creative ways to help live music venues, you know, stay afloat during these trying times. They're doing things like raising money, selling custom music venue merch, and yeah, it's pretty dope. If there is a similar organization out there in your Canadian city, let me know about it via email at benjamin@dropoutentertainment.ca, and we will give them a shout out on the show. I will be back next week with more new Canadian independent music. Now back to, that's a shit segue. Now back to more Canadian independent music. This is Dropout Radio. I'm going back to bed.